edition of the Nerd Watch Podcast. I, of course, am G Money, and a happy new year to everyone. The first Nerd Watch of 2018.
I am the host
of this motley crew of nerds here tonight at Maui Comics and Collectibles. Forgive us for coming on so late. It was all Gannon's fault. It was all his fault.
You like it late, don't you?
DJ, I was just kidding. That was just a crack. We also. You know. Anyway,
Maui
for the crank.
Big shout out, of course, to everybody watching on Facebook Live. By the way, for those that are just listening to the podcast, I do want to let you guys know that you guys can watch us every Tuesday night here on Facebook Live. Just like the Nerd Watch page at facebook.com/nerdwatch and follow us and get the notifications so you guys can watch us live every Tuesday evening with the boys. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Or just do what you're doing.
Yeah. Why can't I hear you?
As long as you get the show, that's all that matters to me.
Talk again. Something wrong with you?
Huh? Yeah. There's lots wrong with me, sir.
Yeah, there we go. I mean, I don't know what the heck's going on with you.
Turn my volume off? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
No, you sound weird.
He turned off your levels.
This one.
It's called an accent.
Yeah, I think this one sounds better.
It's called an accent.
There we go. I don't know what's
going
on with that.
Why you gotta be still talking at all them Ebonics?
Wow.
What?
Much better. Anyway, let's get right to it. We'll talk about what we've been doing over our Christmas vacay.
Well, we can talk about love. We can talk about trust.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about forever, baby, when you talk about us. Anyway, on my far right, ladies and gentlemen, starting the show off, he is the chairman of the comic book board, the godfather of comic books.
Of
here
soul.
At 115
the
South
hardest working
Waukee
man
Avenue.
In comic business today.
I don't work that hard.
It's He is a his store is a miracle.
And Swan's not on camera.
It has two addresses, 115 South Waukee Avenue and 353 Arnold Street.
Yeah, it's like Schrodinger's address.
Mm-hmm. Schrodinger's address?
It's both 115 mm-hmm. South Waukee and mm-hmm. 353 Arnold Street.
No, it's Schrodinger. Schrotinger.
I got it. No, I got it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've never been to the store, it is Between the Sheiks. With your host, your co-host, Daddy Leaks.
One of the Sheiks is yes. Paradise Video.
Technically, it's video between one the hour. Streets.
Between the streets.
Hey, John, I left my Funko at home. I might have broke it touching myself too
first
much.
First of all, I'll go over that in a minute. Let me finish introductions. Ladies and gentlemen, also joining us tonight is the gaming guru himself, doing a lot of gaming, I believe, over this holiday season.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for
a lot of PS2.
Format! He's in the house tonight as well. Also joining us tonight is the punk rock superstar. He is the horror aficionado, and he is also a huge fan of the Justice League. Ladies and gentlemen.
And he's got a show this week.
And he's got a show. What? Ladies and gentlemen, give
You're
it up
still doing those?
For the
I
man.
I know, you're not surprised.
With a punk rock superstar show this week. Gannon in the house tonight as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, just to let DJ know and all of our viewers, if you want to go find that video of G singing, just go look for last week's live video on Nerdwatch. And about midway through, we start making fun of G mercilessly.
I appreciate
for
it.
For singing in the bathroom instead of coming and doing the Nerdwatch.
I'll explain what happened.
Sure, sure you will.
I'm sure you won't. You know, nobody. Put a spin on it, then put you in the good light.
Last but not least, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, I guess we got
he
it.
Is, he
Everybody
is...
Everybody knows who I am.
The comic book artist extraordinaire.
He Jim is, Lee is in the house! Welcome in, Jim. No, he's not here.
He is the author of the Kikui Project, the author of Disco
Thunder
Groove Bone.
Would like to come to the shop, but he doesn't know where it is anymore.
He is the author of Disco Thunder Groove Bone, and, of course, he is...
Disco Thunder Groove Bone... Not Disco Thunder Groove Mom.
He is also the Maui Comics and Collectibles Howley mascot, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for the one, the only, Todd Bernardi in the house tonight as well. So glad
Yay.
To have you, Todd.
Hey, you guys don't sound too happy.
Yay!
By the way, it is New Year's. I noticed that for your New Year, Alika, you did a little grooming. Of your facial hair.
Oh, I did this a while back. You didn't notice because
didn't notice.
You were too busy singing in a bathroom last week.
I'll explain that later.
He did...
You wanted to be our sole provider. What's to explain?
He did take care of the delicates, as it were.
Oh, yes, he did.
Yes.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he caught his delicates on fire with the firework. So he had to trim it.
You guys are making these weird stories up.
So...
He calls it stories. I call it black.
Let's first address what's on the table. Swan, the well, I really don't want to address them, but I guess I have to. Swan decided to, for Christmas, get all of the nerds a lovely Christmas gift this year. If you do not see, he made by hand, along with Joy from Joy Luck Pop, handmade custom pops for all the Nerd Watch boys, including Format, and Alika got two now, and Ganon, and of course Todd, who did not bring his, and mine, which you guys have seen before.
I'm two pops now.
And you're two pops. And then, of course, Kai Kai.
Shakur.
Kai Kai. Our Kai Just Kai, our roadie got one Shakur. As well. So, Swan, since you're in here, why don't you bring one or two up to the camera for Facebook Live and for the audience over
there. Make sure you show underneath the sign I'm holding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, just before, just, while he's doing that, I just want to let you guys know.
Show them how Ganon's is the Alan Rickman Dogma variant.
I want you guys to know that you guys can follow
it
us.
It is not accurate.
All right.
You're like a Ken doll down
I'm
there.
I'm pretty sure you? It's the scale, right?
No, I could totally.
You guys measured for that?
I could His totally make bigger. Babies if I had to.
Wow. Well, let me get this out first. So you guys can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You guys can listen to the podcast on Audioboom, on iTunes, and, of course, at Stitcher. You can follow us there as well if you want to listen to the show. And you can watch us live every single Tuesday night. And you guys can, of course, like our Patreon page and donate to our Patreon page at patreon.com/TheNerdWatch.
So we can get new equipment for
the new year. For the new
John
year.
J. Murakami asks, who's that underneath? I'm guessing that he's asking about the
who's that underneath?
Bottom graphic.
He's just
of
trying
my
to
box.
Get you to say underwear.
I asked the question.
Good.
So, what did you eat under there?
Big shout
underwear.
Out to, of course, Swan.
You ate underwear?
He got them. He got them for Christmas. He got the
yeah,
boys some pops for Christmas.
That
so that
really
was very
Swan
cool
and
for
Swan
and Joy.
Team
and
effort.
Joy did a great job.
Thank you, Joy.
And like
for
I said, even Kai Kai has one, so you can check it. Our resident roadie, our the. I don't want to even say it.
Well, the
stop
best
resolving
part
all your problems with violence.
Well, geez, sorry to interrupt you, but the best part about Kai is you always give him such a hard time. We gave you, if you notice, he's holding your head in his hand.
Let me see.
Yeah, so if you take a look at him,
I never saw
he's
that
actually
part.
Holding a little G-Money head in his
oh,
hand.
Oh, that's pretty sick.
It's covered in blood.
That's awesome. I like that a lot. I like that you're smiling, too.
I like
it's really
that,
cute, Kai. Kai.
I like that you finally gave Kai some head.
No!
Technically, he took
oh,
that head.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. All right. Listen. It is the new year, and of course, even nerds have resolutions. Might as well get to those as well. Todd,
oh, crap. 1080p! 1080p!
Nobody told us that we had homework.
Starting with you, did you have any new resolutions this year for 2018?
Well, most of 2017, I don't think that I drank enough. So I'm going to try to drink.
I don't think you drank enough.
I'm going to try to drink more.
What? Water?
Water, coffee, beer. You know.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And
good
then I'm going to try to finish the next three issues of Kukui Project.
Kukui Why are you Project?
I mean, I'm sure all your fans
I know
are
you're
excited.
Working on the cover.
For issue 9.
Also,
for issue 9?
For issue 9.
Ganon, nice. Sir, it is a new
Thank
year.
You.
Do
I didn't know I had homework. I didn't prep anything.
Do your kind make resolutions?
Portuguese people?
Yes.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, what kind of
I don't have
awesome
any.
Sauce.
But they usually do it around July 4th.
Yeah. We do. We do.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. Anything you're looking forward to in 2018?
Not dying. Maybe go to Japan.
Ooh, go to Japan. Can I ask about your punk rock show?
We have Antimatter from Oahu coming down here to visit. So they've got two shows here this weekend. We're playing the first one at Casanova's on Friday night. I think it starts at 9. $8.
Nice. Cool. Fantastic.
We haven't played up there in a long time, mm-hmm. too. So.
Can
we
I?
We also haven't played in general in the last 2 months.
Can I make a prediction? There's going to be a fight.
Why?
It's a punk rock show.
It's
Casanovas.
No, it's nothing to do with a punk rock show. It's is that
it's Casanovas.
Yeah.
True. It's a good point. Can I ask something? Are we going to finally get that Minorities album done? Or?
I got to go back in and do some guitar overdubs pretty soon.
Do you mind if we just bootleg the show and sell that as a CD?
It's not going to sound any good. Yeah, the guy that's been helping us out with it, he had a couple of medical problems, and he's recovering. So I'm waiting for him to...
Did you say mental overdose. Problems?
Medical.
Oh, medical.
So he once he gets through all of that, we're going to probably reconnect and get the rest of it finished.
Fantastic. Good for you. I'm very excited to hear the Minorities album.
Yeah, right.
I am.
I am.
I'm very excited to hear it.
Can I get it on a jump drive, though? Because I don't know...
Are you gonna,
I don't think I have a CD player.
I only have a turntable. Can you make a record?
Huh?
Can you make a record? I only have a turntable. Oh, good.
Making records is actually easy. They're just expensive.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Format, what about you? What do you have a resolution this year for yourself, sir?
I'm hoping for 8K.
8K.
8K resolution would be ideal. I doubt I'll ever get that.
We're gonna need
this
the,
year.
We're gonna need the Xbox One X One.
Quite possibly.
Nice.
But the PlayStation version.
Mm, right. Any games you've been playing that of interest that people would enjoy?
Metal Saga.
Of course.
It's an old PS2 game.
32-bit heaven.
Oh, so good.
No, man. Good.
No, it's a terrible, terrible RPG. It comes from the Metal Max series of games. But I don't know. I just like those grindy types of games. So
cool.
Whenever I'm here and I'm not sorting comics or like straightening up the shop, I'm usually playing that.
Cool.
Makes terrible RPGs.
By the way, not to go back to Ganon, but when Ganon,
Kingdom
you said you're
Hearts
playing,
2.
You said that you were playing at Casanova's, right?
Kingdom Hearts 2 is not
did
a
you know?
RPG.
Did you guys know that
awesome.
The owner of Enjoy Comics?
Michael Sato?
Michael Sato used to be part of my neck of the woods. He used to be a DJ. I mean, I was an on-air personality. He was a DJ back in the day. And
did you guys ever have rap battles?
He actually did make a remark about Casanova's.
Oh, yeah. He's
did you ever throw down?
He's yeah. That's it. That
with
was
DJ.
He
Mike
used to do it here
Sato.
On Maui. That was his thing back in the day. No, not me.
Here like, on Maui, so it makes sense that it happened here on Maui.
So very cool. So Michael Sato back. What did he say? The good old days.
He said screw you, Gene.
Yeah, he said screw you. Thanks, I appreciate that.
I can't see that, but somehow I believe it.
Yeah, I would love to see Michael Sato spin records. That'd be pretty sick.
So yeah, Metal
like
Saga.
Like Harlem Globetrotters style.
Yeah, exactly. Alika.
A lot of wow. Oh, I guess I'm done.
I got to move on to Mr. Resolution himself, the man who owns Maui Comics and Collectibles.
While I'm talking, we'll cut back to Ganon and then skip me completely to go to Alika. That makes sense. All right.
Well, my hopes and aspirations for 2018 are to hear Format's aspirations. you kind of just messed that up, G.
I'm sorry about that.
There's always next year.
Are there any other terrible RPGs that you like to make fun of for?
No.
No, you sure? All right. All right, just check.
I live for that.
All right. What about you, sir? Any New Year's resolutions you like to make?
Just sell more comics and have more fun doing it.
Yeah.
It seems like what
maybe
you,
with pants.
Let's see how things go. All right.
Well, it's funny that actually one of your resolutions, moving the store, was actually happened a little early for you. But happened.
That wasn't really a resolution. I kind of just did that.
No.
Just because things happen around New Year's doesn't make it a resolution.
Yeah, just checking.
Yeah, dummy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jeez. Just saying. Well, that's good. I'm glad you all. Did you guys have? I'm glad you guys all had a good New Year. And what did? Let's get to it.
I made a lot of money on New Year's doing Uber. Let me tell you.
You did. Did
oh,
you?
Oh yeah.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this.
Did you drive anybody to the ER?
No, I did not.
Did you drive a lot of drunk people?
I drove a lot of Caucasians.
See. Telling
those
you.
People that are
Lahaina.
Not.
If there's one thing about Howleys, they know how to tip.
No, they don't. As a matter of fact,
I was going to say I was a tour guide before.
I do have a bit of a grievance about this. Whenever I'm driving Uber, the people that make a big deal to tell me they're going to tip me are always the ones that don't.
Oh,
always. They're like, oh, don't worry, I'm going to throw you a tip once I get back to the hotel. I never see a tip from those people. They make a big deal to say it, and then they don't do it.
Where were you? Funny. Where were you perusing? Lahaina side or Kihei side?
Always Lahaina side.
Lahaina side.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's very cool. Where are the majority of them in Kanapali? Or are they in Lahaina town?
All over,
or?
Back and forth.
Oh wow.
This isn't really the Uber Hour nerd watch.
No, I'm just
kind
of. I'm just curious.
I didn't expect to go this far.
I know. I'm just curious. That's kind of cool. Anyway, New Year's is also time for us to catch up on certain shows. This is a nerd show, so we might as well get to some stuff. Anybody watch any movies or anything
Bright.
Exciting happening?
We all watched Bright.
Except
we
loved you.
Bright. Except for me.
Bright was awesome.
All right, well, let's talk about...
I had to watch Bright because Liga wouldn't shut up about it.
Let's
and
talk about
just
Bright.
Just put it on and was like, you're going to watch this.
I
and
did,
then you did.
I did
then
watch. I did watch something that came out like a promotion
okay.
for Bright that came out after the film, which I thought was should have been a precursor to the movie. They put out like this 2-minute Facebook thing about their
experience. Oh yeah, the magic, right?
The They're magic. Yeah,
the magic
I don't know why they didn't do that in the beginning.
I didn't see that.
That's a very cool thing. They started explaining like the lore.
Yeah, I actually love that the movie just starts.
Really?
Yeah. They don't spend a lot of time setting the stage.
Well,
they,
the graffiti sets the stage pretty well. The credits, the graffiti.
No, but the movie just starts. There's no like long 10-minute sequence to show you how things got
in
that
the dark
way.
Ages,
the background stuff is where you get the information. I like that it just starts.
I mean, I
and
think
it's
that's
like, bam, that, in the city. Or some, I don't know what the song
the
is.
Strength of, that's what the strength of the movie is. They assume that everybody knows what an elf and an orc and all this fantasy stuff
I
is.
I don't
because
know any of that stuff. I was totally taken by surprise.
Anybody, you know,
great
D&D
show.
Is a thing. Everybody knows what all this lore is. It exists.
Lord of the Rings was real.
All right, so let me ask you this. Basically. Okay, so David Ayer is coming off of Suicide Squad. Okay,
he makes
this. Now, is this a decent transition?
Another Oscar. I
is this
smell another
tra- Oscar. Is this a good transition for him? I mean,
for orc makeup.
What do you mean a transition? It's another cop movie.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
For like, David Ayer, it's not much of a stretch for him.
Yeah, it is true. I guess
just you do a little tweak on something he's already good at.
All right, now
it's not a bad thing, but it's not new ground for him.
It felt like Training Day all over.
Since
again.
I have not watched Bright, does it look like it cost $90 million to make?
Fairies, bro.
I would say
fairies.
So.
Fairies.
Really?
It's not an overly CG kind of a film.
And goopy magic effects.
But there's lots of special there's lots of like prosthetic makeups and stuff like that. And yeah. And I'm sure Will Smith didn't come cheap.
So can one of you guys do a little a synopsis of the story, like a 2-minute little synopsis? What's going on in the
basically,
world of Bright?
You live in a world where 2,000 years ago mm-hmm. that the Dark Lord was rising. We don't know the Dark Lord. We don't see anything about him. Mm-hmm. But magic exists in this world. And, you know, the 9 races, which are orcs, elves, humans, and other races that don't even get mentioned, really. They just say there's 9 races on the planet that help seal the Dark Lord away.
Mm.
And
9 races, not including human races.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's more races.
I
want to
make that clear right now. It's not like there's Japanese.
Oh, maybe those are the other races.
White, Mexicans, and
they
then
just
orcs.
Lump all the Asians together and call that a race.
So they lump all the humans together. Got it.
Yeah, the humans are a race.
Yes.
Got it.
The human race.
God.
Oh, there's centaurs.
That works?
There's centaurs. There's fairies. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I already hate this
there's
movie.
There's like one centaur.
Fairies
the whole
are really
though,
a small kind of.
I know. But he was a cop before the orc was.
That's true.
That's true.
So, yeah. Okay. So, ultimately.
Dragons.
Does.
Oh, yeah, there's dragons in the.
That's the one thing I couldn't make sense of that movie. How do you reconcile a dragon living in that world? Like, where does it land? What does it do?
Well, there's
doesn't
strict controls
people?
On magic, on everything. You know, and including magical creatures, I'd imagine.
Is it fair to say that this is more, and forgive me
dragons.
If I'm making a comparison that isn't proper, but is this a
dragons work for Amazon?
That's pretty awesome.
Why is my package burned?
Is this a grown-up version of what we would assume Harry Potter would have been like after
No,
that's
because
off.
There aren't orcs and stuff
and,
in Harry
and,
Potter.
And,
not really.
You
and,
know, the
well, there are.
Are
they only attack the bathroom?
Oh, yeah.
The basis of the world. Isn't like, I mean, magic is the basis of everything, but it's not central to the movie per se.
Right.
Like, you spend most of the movie just living in this world where magic exists. And,
right.
Yeah,
and
magic is like a, it's like a thing that happens,
because
but
there's
no one's
control.
Privy
in,
to it.
In the real world, even orcs and elves, people who are, elves are more likely to be brights, which that's the title of the movie is Bright.
What, can explain that for those
is
of people
somebody who can
watching.
Wield a magic wand and perform magic.
Okay.
And so elves, it's very common for them to be brights. Humans, they say it's 1 in 1,000,000, and I don't think there's any orc brights, right?
And guess who's the bright in this movie?
Spoiler.
Na, 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 na.
And look, this is, na, na, but this na, is the na, thing. Na. Everybody has a lot of problems with, like, Will Smith is Will Smith in this movie, and that's awesome. I think it's great. And do you think Will Smith is going to be the lead in a movie where the title is Bright and he's not a Bright?
I don't think they should have explained.
And they state in the movie that a human being a Bright is a 1 in 1,000,000 thing.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Immediately,
I don't
I
think
go,
they should have explained that. If they didn't explain that, I don't think that would have came up as your automatically Will Smith is the Bright.
I knew, well, But that's the part. Is it telegraphed it way ahead of time? And
yeah. If they didn't say, hey, one in a million humans
like,
is
as
a
soon
bright.
As they say that, you're like, Will Smith's the bright.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there was no moment when it happens, and you're like, oh.
No, it is.
Because we were
I think the build.
It's coming.
It's not a surprise, but the buildup is appropriate that you have the feels. You're like, yes, Will Smith, you got it. You do it. You know, it's like you feel awesome about it because they know how to do that in a Will Smith movie.
So my question.
I wanted the orc to be the bright.
All right. So
that would have been pretty epic, too.
Netflix has been doing some very edgy, some very good movies, some very good television series. Now, this is, this is a huge movie for Netflix. Mm-hmm. As far as the acting and the directing and all the other stuff, how is Joel Edgerton and how is Will Smith in their roles? Are they
he
good?
Joel Edgerton, he's unrecognizable. You wouldn't know that was him.
He did a great job. What else is he in?
It Comes at Night.
Star Wars.
Who is he?
Warrior.
Tell me who he is. I'm not an actor person.
Really? Yeah. Have you not seen the movie Warrior?
Warrior? The MMA movie?
MMA Rocky-ish movie?
Yeah.
No.
It's him and Tom Hardy. He's Uncle Owen in the prequels.
Yes, he's Uncle Owen.
Oh. Yeah,
he's drinking the blue
Comes
milk.
Comes at Night. I'm trying to think of something else that was a bigger movie that he would remember.
Joel Edgerton. What else was he in?
I'm trying to think of, like, I don't know.
Yeah, do you watch the BBC a lot?
He's Australian?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
Yeah.
You will recognize him if you saw him, though, for sure.
Sure, probably.
Did we skip the comic list?
We did, but I want to get. We're going to get to.
I was
going to
say you jumped straight in.
I know it was really important. I wanted to get to Bright before I forgot about. But we'll get to the comic list in a minute.
I think you're trying to shorten Oblique's time
a little bit. Listen, don't give that away. Anyway, so
just trying to get out of here.
Bright, yes, Bright. Ultimately, was Will Smith being his over. Acting.
It wasn't overacting.
No. Okay.
I think
no,
over
but it
time,
was very Will Smith.
Over time, the Will Smith act has become tempered. And he always sells his movie. Like, he's never been in a real flop. Well, like, after Earth This, I was like, if you watched it, it's
so
actually
was,
not
so
that
there
bad.
Was no Welcome to the Earth
classic,
moment?
The classic Will Smith shows up where he has
there
to...
There is. There is tons of Will Smith moments. That's sort of like, ghetto rumors, homie. That guy talks like Will Smith. He's Will Smith. You know what I mean?
He has to kill that fairy at the beginning of the...
Yeah, fairy lives don't matter. That's a Will Smith moment.
It's a very Will Smith classic kind of moment. Where he has to kill the fairy and his bug zapper thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sorry, I don't worry about doing your thug stuff. I'm just trying to sell my house over here. That kind of thing.
So also, I do know that in the movie Bright, there is a lot of comparisons.
You got all of these?
There are a lot of comparisons to race relations now.
Well, that's the obvious allegory.
Is this all this allegory
This is L.A.
Stuff?
Okay, have you ever seen RoboCop 2?
Yes.
It's nothing like that.
Okay, good. Good.
I'd buy that for $1.
Let me explain it to you. Have you ever seen Aliens?
Which one?
Aliens.
Aliens.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, I have.
It's nothing like that either.
Okay, good. Thanks. You're really contributing tonight, Todd.
I haven't seen the movie yet.
The problem people have with it, they're like, the orcs are the black people, obviously, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know... And then they're like, but black people this and orcs that in the movie. And you know, you can do allegory for race without everything have to equate one-to-one or having to take things that are happening there and transposing to the real world and be like, what does that mean they subconsciously feel about this group? I don't think it was very clumsily done either. I think it was fine. And orcs weren't just black people. I don't think people caught up on the nuances. Is that blacks were also the Jews. I mean, orcs were also the Jews in that movie. No, seriously, because they had that 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, we get that.
Can the name of the pod be Blacks Are Also the Jews?
Blacks Are Also the Jews, yeah, sorry.
Can that be the name of the pod,
spoiler,
please?
The Blacks Are Also the Jews.
No!
Okay, but
why? How did they get an Australian to play a black
orc? I get that, but I think what's more interesting in the film is that It's almost as if that doesn't matter anymore because the blacks are the blacks in the movie and the orcs are the orcs. Like, so we're just,
the other thing is
the class roles don't change, but you're also having to put in this whole other subtext.
Yeah, you're adding tears now at this point.
So what would
that's
they
what I mean.
The spectrum of the human experience gets narrowed because there's the elves above and the orcs below.
Right.
So because you still have the barrio where the stereotypical Latin gang members like, come on, S.A., where's the magic wand, S.A.?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like
they even say it like that, too, like white people, S.A.
Really?
What are you doing, S.A.? They talk like that.
There is a comparison that was
double
made by
space
Jimmy
essay.
My favorite thing about it, though, is that the magic wand is essentially a nuclear
500
weapon.
500 words minimum
essay. That dangerous in this universe.
Well, interesting.
But they're rare, and if you ever find one, it's basically like
that was,
a nuclear
I thought
warhead.
That was a great story angle. Like,
I like the movie. I like the movie.
Right, so, Jimmy J, in the Facebook chat, if you're listening, mentioned a movie that I think is very good and is not talked about enough. He compared it to Alien Nation. Does that make sense to anybody?
Well, he hasn't seen it.
Well, yeah, that's super obvious.
A lot of people make that comparison, especially if they haven't seen it, because
it's the closest thing to compare it to.
Yeah, you have humans in a world where aliens are naturally part
like
of the world, and they've been for a while. There's social constructs that allow for everybody to interact together. So, yeah, the society organized looks a little bit like
so
that.
So, ultimately, is the world building done in a way that makes you want to watch another one?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I wish this was a series rather than a movie.
They could have easily turned it into a series if they could have got the commitment out of Will Smith.
Yeah, if Will Smith would do a series, but I mean, I'm eagerly waiting
there's
the
so much
one.
Other stuff you can do
and
in that world.
It was a theatrical release type of movie. But on Netflix. That's,
and since
that's
they didn't have to waste the energy to explain what an orc or an elf or magic or
I
any of that stuff
don't know
was,
what any of that is.
Like, this is all public domain kind of stuff.
Right.
So everybody knows what it is. So you don't have to spend time building this world.
Right.
You can lay the foundation on, you know, and everybody knows what it is.
It could belong to anything.
And so now they can do, like, the finer brush strokes, like what the magic looks like and what the spells will be and make it its own thing.
That's what magic.
So can I ask you this? So
glowing loopy stuff.
Without ruining
it. That elf magic, the elf.
Without
that was a cool looking spell where she turned her veins into like designs on the wall and stuff.
Oh yeah. Every time they did magic, it started out
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Glowing loopy stuff.
Without ruining it, guys, I need to know.
We
kind
of already ruined most of the story.
No. I get that, but
Will Smith is a black cop. Did I spoil something?
Do these orcs and humans, or do these
That's
orcs
an
and elves and all these stuff? Do they just happenstance upon the scene, or have they actually?
It's been thousands of years of society.
Yeah, it's not like they all of a sudden showed up in the world.
Holy cow, orcs!
They've always been there.
Okay, got it.
It's just this is what the world would look like if they existed along with us.
And there was a huge thing.
Yeah, it's not like there was a temporal rift and they all showed up to our world or something.
Okay,
The graffiti in the opening credits establishes the hierarchy in the world where the elves are over the humans. They're the high-blooded, pure people who don't allow even humans into their neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the orcs who are like below everybody.
Malamari. Question.
Correct.
The chemistry between Will Smith and Joel Edgerton.
Oh, it's incredible.
Burritos.
Oh,
dude. That's all you got to know.
But the thing is, the reason is because Joel Edgerton actually plays like a human version of a dog. Like, his character is literally a dog, like how a dog would talk.
Wow.
He's very open emotionally, very honest, very loyal.
A little bit of Drax in there, too.
Really?
Yeah, like very literal.
So what you're telling me, is this is kind of a coup for Netflix, and this could be a big thing for
them. To me, the thing is, I heard zero reviews before watching it. I watched it. I was in a bubble even a week after watching it.
Right.
I just glowing because I thought this was incredible. I was like, Will Smith is awesome for doing this. This is a great movie. And then all of a sudden, like, I see things start showing up on my Facebook feed about how Bright is like a flop and everybody hates it. And I was like, what the crap is this idiotic mess? Like, it was really a good movie, and I saw nothing wrong with it.
So it's like The Last Jedi, like a Netflix Last Jedi.
Oh, Todd, you're trolling so hard right now.
Actually, they changed the name of the movie.
This is actually the point I've always been making about Rotten Tomatoes in the first place. If people just watch stuff without paying attention to the reviews, they might actually enjoy it.
They might. You're absolutely right.
This movie was incredible.
So, okay.
And I'm glad I didn't see any reviews before or after.
I know I enjoyed movies before I started doing the Nerd Watch.
Right, now you hate him?
No, I hate
him. He's not allowed to like him.
Yeah,
not around him.
All right, so ultimately...
You know what's really good?
What's that?
Is that Josh Trank Fantastic Four movie.
Okay. Maybe reviews help people to guide them away from the darkness.
Give them that movie another chance, man. That thing's genius.
Well, in the Facebook chat, a friend of the show and also a very learned cinematic scholar, Aaron, said it's David Ayer's best work since End of Watch. So
another cop movie.
I like End of Watch. It's a good movie.
Wow.
My question
Aaron
ultimately.
Aaron Medeiros knows movies, so
yes, he
come
does.
On
that's what I mean.
Yeah,
he's a scholar.
End of Watch.
Thanks for sticking
made
up for
Nadia. Never want to go to L.A.
Right. does Max Landis? Did he land the script? Was it good enough? Or
I thought the pace was. I saw zero.
That's
there was
what
nothing.
I'm curious about.
Max Landis.
There's nothing clumsy about it.
Say what you will about Max Landis. He knows how to write a script.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, you know, say what you will about Mel Gibson, but that guy knows visual cinematography.
Yes, he does. But the thing about Max Landis is
both of things are unfortunately very true.
I agree with you on one thing, because Max Landis never got any recognition.
I never was a fan of his flamboyance and, you know, all
Max's,
of those kinds of things.
Mean?
Yeah, Max's.
Yeah.
I don't think I could stand talking to him in a room by myself.
I love the fact that
on the opposite end, like, I actually enjoy the stuff he writes.
I love the fact that he loves wrestling, which is awesome for me being a wrestling fan. But ultimately, what I do like about Max, and no one ever talks about it, Max Landis wrote a great film with Kirsten Stewart, nonetheless, called American Ultra, which I think a lot of people missed. And that was a very fun movie. If you've not seen American Ultra, you should check it out.
It also had Lex Luthor.
It did, Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesse Eisenberg is actually doing Max Landis in BVS.
Are you messing with me?
Awesome.
Right now?
Jesse Eisenberg said that after
having discussions with Max Landis, that kind of informed a little bit of how he performed.
Really?
Watch that movie again. He is performing Max Landis.
Max Landis is really, I mean, he's a comic book geek too. He wrote Spider-Man American Alien.
If that's true about the Max Landis being the inspiration for his performance as Lex Luthor,
right,
then any day now he's going to get canned for shoving Jolly Ranchers into interns' mouths.
That was Jesse Eisenberg trying to expose Max Landis.
Yes, it was. Holy
that was
cow.
A brave stance.
That wasn't the end.
Me appreciate BVS more.
What
was the peach tea thing? Was that also a cry for help?
Yes, it was. We just cracked it.
We did.
Secret genius.
Stop peeing in people's tea and shoving Jolly Ranchers in their mouth, Max Landis.
What were you going to say, Todd?
Way to go, Eisenberg.
That was like a senator. It wasn't an intern.
That's right. Thanks.
Yeah, so Max Landis is evidently effing senators.
I'm glad I went
to you. They're probably male Republican senators.
No.
Peach
anyway,
tea!
Jimmy J wanted to thank you guys.
Hey, you're welcome.
Like that guy from Oklahoma, the state senator from Oklahoma.
At least wait to hear what he's thinking. Oh. Sorry.
You mean Alabama?
It's just, really get thanks very often.
Oh, interesting.
So
I got to check.
I'm just eager to welcome it.
We'll look for ourselves.
All right, so let's get to this. Bright. Can I get some
Bright hype?
Can I get some official reviews?
I'm going to go ahead and call it Bripe.
Official reviews. Gannon, what do you give it?
What happened?
What do you give Bright?
Four fingers.
What? S.A.?
How many how many magic wands? How many magic sticks?
He just
trying
to seed it. Did you hear that? He actually said four in there. Like, he's trying to get me to say four.
How many magic sticks?
Huh?
How many magic sticks would you give
I would give it 3.5, almost a 4.
Wow.
The only thing that kind of hurt the movie for me is that there was a point where it just felt like it was Training Day if there was magic wands in it.
All right, fair enough.
I love the world of it, and I love the
King Kong
the story. But there was a lot of points in that movie where it was just like this. They just hired David Ayer to remake one of his movies with fantasy elements in it.
Mm. Pretty much, yeah.
Interesting.
Which I know sounds like I'm not crapping on it, but I really did like it. But that was the only thing that makes me kind of pull back a little bit.
But they say if you do something well, you might as well just keep doing it, right? I guess.
Look at Eastwood.
Yeah, like a Clint Eastwood. By the way, not to change the subject, but Clint Eastwood's new movie looks awesome. 3:15 to Paris, or whatever it was.
Huh? Last Tango in Paris.
No, 3:15 to Paris.
He remade Last Tango in Paris?
No, not the Marlon Brando movie.
American Werewolf in Paris. He made that movie.
No, 3:15 to Paris.
3:10 to Yuma.
That's a great movie, by the way.
They already remade that one.
Yeah, the one with Batman.
Christian Bale and
Christian Bale and
Woody Harrelson. They were
No, Christian Bale and Russell Crowe.
It was Christian Bale and Woody Harrelson.
That's great.
All right.
Alright, anyway, format, what's your final verdict? How many magic sticks do you give Bright?
500 word double space essay.
John J. Murakami naming the show. May your new year be bright. Done deal, John J. Murakami. You are the best.
Oh, jeez.
JJM does it again.
That's not nearly as good as Blacks Are Also the Jews.
No!
Can we do that? We can do that, right? I edit the shows,
so
I can do it.
Some blacks are Jews.
That's it.
But to get back to the rating, because it seems like you just want to move on and skip me again.
I don't want to skip you. At least not now.
I'd have to agree with Gannon. I'd say 3.5, 4.
Nice.
It's good. I don't really do half scores, so I lean towards four.
Yeah, you never do.
Yeah, because that's a cop out.
Mm.
You guys ever see Cop Out?
I gave that movie 3.5 stars. In that movie.
There should have been. Absolutely.
Is that the one with Burt Reynolds and the little black kid?
That's no, that's Cop and a Half. That's Cop and a Half, man.
Cop Out is the one with Burt Reynolds and Woody Harrelson.
Oh, crossover. Cop Out and a Half.
Cop Out and a Half.
Cop
Out's directed by
Bruce
Kevin
Willis.
Cop and a Half out.
Tracy Morgan.
Let's get David
Sorry,
on
Christian
it.
Bale and Woody Harrelson. Ooh. Cop and a Half out.
Cop Out. Anybody like this table like Cop Out? I hated that movie.
I don't know what it
was. Horrible.
I didn't love it.
I didn't love it.
I thought it was Cop and a Half, so I obviously don't know what it is.
I think Kevin Smith should stick to directing his own material. I think he should stick to his own material.
It was no Red State.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was no Red State. Red State's a good movie, by the way. Well, I like that movie a lot. Anyway, your final review.
I'm gonna give it 4.5 stars so that people who actually know how to use magic. Shut up,
magic sticks.
I'm gonna give it 4.5 because people who use these five whatever thing rating systems will probably look down on me if I say five because there's so many things wrong with it.
Just say five.
But it was fun. I loved it.
I can't wait to watch this movie.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's a fun
five
watch.
From Liga.
All right. All right, so everybody, may your new year be bright, and check a look at that movie on Netflix. So check that out. All right, listen, I know we did this a little backwards.
David, magician.
David Ayer.
Aaron in the Facebook chat makes a good point. He says the backstory behind Cop Out is so much better than the movie. He is absolutely right about that.
Who said this?
Aaron. He's right.
Aaron who?
Medeiros.
The man who is
1 minute.
He's still watching. He likes the show. Ironically enough,
movie guy.
Yeah, he really likes Todd. So
he's so funny looking.
Yeah, he is.
Now I'm gonna have to question his taste.
All right, let's get to the comic list. I know we're doing this a little backwards, but here at 115 South Waukea Avenue, or for those of you that live elsewhere, 353 Anna Street, you can check out Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Between
the streets with Daddy Leaks this week. Maui
and
Comics
on
and Collectibles.
The corner, there's a Sheiks.
And there's a Sheiks. it is New Comic Book Wednesday every single Wednesday here. Marvel keeps pumping out product. What's in it for the new year?
Tell us, G, which Marvel books should we keep an eye open for since you know so much about the Marvels?
He's super stoked on Marvel because they're canceling all their SJW titles.
They're canceling all of them. Gwenpool is
right?
finally
what
coming
a victory.
To an end.
Is that all that win you were talking about?
It's all about the win. Even though I heard that Gwenpool is out, America is out. There's a bunch of them.
America's been dead since Trump got elected.
That's a high five. I'd give you a high five, but I won't.
Anything after 2016.
Okay. Mikey's got you. So 115 South Waukea Avenue. Every single Wednesday is New Comic Book Wednesday here at Maui Comics and Collectibles. So what's brand new this week in comic books?
Batman and the Signal, number 1 of 3.
Ooh.
That's Duke Thomas.
Oh, the
Thomas
Signal.
Duke.
Yeah, awesome.
Dastardly and Muttley, number 5 of 6.
Mm-hmm.
Exit Stage Left, the Snap.
Mm-hmm.
Number 1 of, and it doesn't tell me.
Hold the bottom of that thing, that stupid cord.
I am.
You are?
You give me the piece of crap mic, man.
There you go, you're good. Now you're good.
Oh, I'm going to slap
you,
man.
Sorry, man. Sorry.
Green Arrow, 36. Green Lanterns, 38.
Ooh.
I'll settle for some sick off-camera burns. you can sit on those for a little while.
All right, I will. Okay.
Harley and Ivy meet Betty and Veronica, number 4 of 6. Paper Girls, number 19.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
I want that one. Give me that one. I want that one. Put that in my box.
No.
Do I need to?
Just put it there. Shove it in.
Let me spread it apart so you can get it in there.
Phoenix Resurrection. Return of Jean Grey, number 205.
Speaking of, who's excited for the Dark Phoenix movie?
All of us. Yay. Fox doing an X-Men movie. Yay. It looks so comic accurate because she's on fire. Yay.
According to Sophie Turner, it's going to revolutionize the
genre. It really is going to revolutionize the comic industry because Bryan Singer was still involved and it's with Fox. Yay. And it's also got majority of the same cast that's already been there. So it's not a reboot. Yay.
Is it an 8K?
He's not involved in that.
Mm. He was
it's
involved.
An 8K.
He was.
Yes, he was.
Apparently.
In the setting up of that universe. Yes. He's got nothing to do with this new movie.
According to them.
Simon Kinberg is writing and directing.
No, he is, but apparently, from what I understand, he was a consultant.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, never mind then.
Well, that's.
So he somebody went up to him and was like, so what, costumes? He's like, no.
He's like, but don't put your name on it because you're a pederast. Yay.
Somebody's wow. Somebody's got to run the traditional X-Men child sex slavery.
Oh, my gosh. We're not going here. Moving on. God.
No, Todd, all of this is alleged.
It's yeah, it's all alleged.
Traditional.
And actually, Todd, you got it wrong. It's the studio sanctioned shower room for the child stars.
Oh. You know, nobody gave this level of crap to It when they have a bunch of kids parading their underwear.
That's true.
Nobody
because
said
if you read
that.
The book, you would know there's an orgy in it.
But that's what happened.
So it could have been way worse. Thanks,
true.
Stephen King.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. And,
well, let's be honest. In the book, all the boys run a train on the little.
Okay, enough.
The
enough.
He literally
right,
just
enough.
Said that.
Oh, well, anyway.
Where were you?
I'm lost in my own world.
To make it grosser.
So the next book is from a
that's good, why books are awesome.
Good friend of the store, Curtis Weeb, our Canadian friend. Rat Queens number 7 is out, stronger than ever.
Nice. You would think that he'd be a manga fan.
It's pronounced manga.
I'm surprised you didn't say you wanted that in your box.
He wants
a mango in his box.
I can take that in the box.
Rogue and Gambit number 1 of 5.
Go ahead and put that on my pull
Ender's
list.
Game. Another. Youth nakedness.
Yeah, you're right.
Sure.
Moving on.
Any other?
It's okay to write it as long as you don't draw it.
Shadow Batman number 4 of 6. Star Wars Adventures Force of Destiny Leia. Oh, it's the cartoon version. Star Wars Adventures Forces of Destiny.
And it's by IDW, so it's okay to buy that.
Yeah, it's not by Marvel.
So,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Universe number 18. Mm. Good title. Walking Dead number 175.
You know what's funny is that this good show title. Has not been keeping up at all with The Walking Dead, and that kind of worries me that we're not all excited.
You know, this season eight,
the show.
I watched the first episode, and even after the season finale of 7, and then you got the season opener of 8, and you were just like, you can see why people are dropping like flies from this show. It's every bad guy that the show... I mean, I don't even know how to explain it and sound like
it almost feels as if there is no comeuppance or revelation that we're going to be encountering anytime soon. And I think that that's what's going to wear on
people.
Well,
so the other problem is the show writers maybe started changing the story before they completely understood where the comic book was going, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I know that... what's his face? The creator. Robert Kirkman is working directly with the showrunners and stuff. But they made decisions early on to change a lot of things that happened in the books. And maybe at the time didn't seem that important. But now that we're with Negan, and, you know, in the books, Negan is still around. There's a lot of different stuff that happens that probably can't even happen just due to the way that his story is played out in the show. That I think the show is about to run itself into a wall.
Right.
That without the strength of the writing that's in the comics.
Right.
Is because by the grace of God, the comics have held on and the fans have stuck through and really appreciated the quality of it. But the show is, you know, kind of shirking that quality more and more as it progresses.
Yeah, for sure.
And trying to lean on its own invention, but
yeah, and
I don't think it's really.
And I think to be fair to Robert Kirkman, I think he likes to do something different than what he wrote. Like he'll say, ooh, what if I tried this instead on television, what I wanted to do in the book? Or
I think that they're doing the thing, too, like where they combine some characters.
Yeah, for sure.
Where they can't really cast that many characters that they have in the comic book. So that they're combining them so that it's easier. You know, they've got the
although the now that they got to season 7 and 8 where they introduced, like, you know, over the in the books you have a course of a year or two to meet each of the colonies and they form their relationship however they're going to form it and whatever over time. And in season 7 they introduced them to like 3 different colonies in the matter of like 2 shows. And so none of that world building in that area was really happening either.
I almost feel as if, I mean, considering we're talking about the comics here, but I almost feel as if there should have been an end game for the Walking Dead television series.
I think that he's got an end game. I mean, Invincible's ending. So I think Robert Kirkman's always got this vague ending in mind. I don't know how he's going to get there. And I think that, like, right now with the comic book, he's kind of... he's not planning on ending it.
Right.
He's planning on keeping it going.
Can we do the spoilers for the mid-season finale? Is apparently, and I haven't been watching the show, I've just heard about it.
Sure.
Is apparently they were hinting that Carl's going to die because he got bit by a walker.
Right. Yeah. I heard about that.
And that's definitely a deviation from the book because Carl's still around in the comic. You know?
Yeah.
Interesting. Fascinating. I'm very surprised that...
Do we know he was actually bitten by a zombie?
He, like... Well, that's the thing. I think they're going to do, a Glenn Under the Dumpster cop-out.
I got a feeling that they're going to kind of do...
Which would also make the show look super weak, because if you're going to do that every mid-season... I mean, it's just so cheap after
Welcome
a certain
to
point.
Event television.
Event yeah. television. Anyway, getting back to your list.
Yeah,
what else
like
is on there?
Bright.
So, finally, Watch Vark, which is just more... Aardvark, Cerebus, yeah.
Nice.
X-Men Gold number 19. And the comic I'm actually looking forward to and reading. I'm actually reading a comic right now.
Ooh.
X-Men Grand Design number 2 of 2. Which, thank you, Ed Pisker, for that masterpiece. It's amazing. Definitely an incredible comic.
I wanted to check it out, but we sold out.
I've got more number ones coming, yeah.
So we got a few minutes here, and I do want to talk about a little bit more about comics. Marvel did, and we kind of joked about it earlier before the comic book list, but Marvel did cancel a bunch of comic books for this new year. Some of them were apparently what were... I guess Gwenpool was a very popular title that got canceled.
She's a popular character. It wasn't a popular comic.
Yeah, apparently wasn't all that great.
Right.
She is a popular
character. She's a popular character. So who else got the axe? I mean, because I know that there was a ton
Spider-Man.
Of Spider-Man. No, he's still around. I know the title.
It's not like they send us out a list of books that are canceled.
No. I was reading.
Well, and also in previews, you can still order the next book of a lot of the titles.
Right.
So a lot of them look like they're still sticking around. Like when they talk about this kind of thing, you know, the decision doesn't hit until months out. So I'm not going to see what's missing from the list until a month or two more.
Well, like I said, I think the cancellation of the titles has more to do.
And they'll
with
still be on the shelves for like three or four months. Yeah.
Right? They're not making money, so obviously they have to cancel the titles.
They canceled Gwenpool, Luke Cage.
Yeah, that.
Well, the other thing to remember is that's not necessarily because of diversity, because Luke Cage and Iron Fist always have intermittent title runs, and sometimes they cross over with each other. It's just the nature of their characters as side Marvel characters. I think people are putting too much onto that.
They're not popular.
Right.
They are popular, but they're B characters.
They're not selling comics.
They're going to appear other places. It's not like we're never going to see Luke Cage.
Right,
again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're a street team.
Defenders got canceled. Luke Cage. Gwenpool, America, Generation X,
that
and
was the one.
Captain Marvel.
That's right, Captain Marvel.
So
once they cancel those, they can put out six new
but
Spider-Man
the thing
books
is,
and Wolverine books.
But the thing is, the Captain Marvel, I think, is canceled just in time for them to relaunch a new number one for the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that, that's just Marvel movie timing.
Have they started shooting that movie?
Yeah. I believe they have. Yes.
Have they?
Yeah, and it's taking place in the
'90s. Supposedly going to debut in Infinity War.
Right. That's what I understand, too. But I don't know if that's going to happen. I really don't.
That'd be
don't
the place to do it.
You would think so. But anyway, that's got to be good for the comic book owner. I mean, that way you don't have to bring in a ton more titles.
Well,
that does help a little bit.
Marvel Comics publishes around 60, depending on the one-shots and the miniseries, around 60 comics a month.
Right.
So if they cancel 5 or 6.
60 right. titles a month.
Yeah, 60 titles.
Not comics.
No. See, I understand what you said.
It's actually more comics.
Yeah.
Because some of the titles are biweekly. Marvel doesn't have any weekly titles, but they, some of them have more than.
Well, and then they've got all the covers and they've got all that other stuff.
Right, all the variants and all the crap.
I mean, so it's not. Marvel's not really paring it down all that much.
Right.
I would be shocked if they said, okay, these 25 titles are done.
Right.
That's
the other thing is cancellation isn't mean these titles are done because they always come back, and especially in the new form of the industry is let it rest for a couple months even while you look for a new writer and artist team.
Obviously, these aren't selling, and with these comics aren't selling. Obviously, they're not making money. But also with the fact that now that Disney has acquired Fox. And they have the X-Men and Fantastic Four back. I think it's an opportunity
be interesting
for them
to watch
reboot those as well.
Not necessarily reboot, but bring, maybe they have to reboot these characters, but right. I think that's what makes Ed Piskor's grand design, the timing of this is amazing, because what it's doing is realigning the continuity for X-Men, which had become so messed up over time. Like, the continuity hasn't been coherent since right. the early 2000s, really. Yeah.
Since Brian
Age of
Singer.
Apocalypse.
Getting back to the movies, I think Hugh Jackman made the right call when somebody asked, "Ooh, do you want to come back?" He said, "No, I'm done." And I think it's a smart move. Let that rest.
Have you ever had to work with Brian Singer? I wouldn't want to either.
Oh, God dang, dude. I tell you, man, you're evil.
He's a trash person.
All right. He's a trash person.
Allegedly.
Wow.
Allegedly a trash person.
Trash person.
He got his start on Sesame Street.
All right.
Putting his arm up.
Who?
Oscar the Grouch.
What
were you, what'd you think I was going to say? That's disgusting.
You're disgusting.
You didn't
follow
the line that you were being fed.
I know. We got about 7 minutes left. There are some new titles digitally that you may want to pick up if you're interested in movies.
How do you pick up a digital title?
Purchase a digital title. We finally got It. That has come to digital. Love It. Also, we got a.
Does he use a dead child as a hand puppet?
No, he doesn't. We also.
Yes,
got
he does. Then...
I bet he does, doesn't he?
You're
right.
An idiot. He totally does.
He totally does. You're right.
Yeah, I bet he learned that. I bet he learned that move from Brian Singer.
You guys are evil, man. Also, we also got American Made came out. American Assassin also came out. If you haven't seen that, and
American Assassin.
Also got Blade Runner 2049 digitally as well. That'll be out in physical Blu-ray.
Is that where Drax beats up Harrison Ford? Oh, no, he beats up the guy from The Notebook.
Yeah. That's right, he beats up the guy from The Notebook.
Cry about this.
Yeah. So, Blade Runner 2049 is available. If you guys have not seen Blade Runner 2049, you should. It is phenomenal.
It doesn't explain anything, but it's cool to look
at. I just find it ironic that they finally bring it back, and then that one doesn't. It flops commercially.
It does flop commercially, and Ridley Scott's like, it's too long.
2049 crashed? That flopped?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
it flopped.
But then again, to be fair, though, the original Blade Runner also flopped.
It was critically acclaimed. I thought that was like box office gold.
It's the same thing with The Last Jedi. I mean, it was critically acclaimed, but it was kind of a flop.
So that movie has already...
It just made $1 billion, but it flopped.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Last Jedi...
If Justice League can flop at $600 million, I mean... The Last Jedi
takes off his
shirt. True.
I don't think anybody used the word flop.
I didn't think
it underperformed. But
yes.
I don't think anybody used the word flop.
The issue is that The Last Jedi has now surpassed surpassed the feminist icon Wonder Woman in the box office.
Yes. Low T.
It is now the number two biggest movie of 2017, and also
it's behind Beauty and the Beast.
It's
right?
behind Beauty and the Beast now. Yeah. And it's fixing to surpass Beauty and the Beast, as a matter of fact.
Beauty and the Beast is another feminist icon.
Yes, as a matter of fact, she is. It's interesting.
Hey, way to go, ladies. They got three top films up there.
Yeah, they do.
Female-centric films, and they're all in the top spots.
Mm. Good job. Star Wars is now a feminist movie.
Yeah, it kind of is.
With
Beauty and the Beast is a feminist movie?
Mm. I never said feminist. I said
female-fronted film.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway,
Last Jedi. Where her beast of a husband kidnaps her and keeps her in a castle.
It's obviously a feminist movie because somebody taught her to read, and it's a movie about a woman who can read.
Most women can read in most films that I've watched.
Go back to that time period and see how often they loved women reading.
Jeez.
That'll be a history lesson.
So anyway, other than that, if you guys are interested, there are some very cool digital sales that you guys can make yourselves privy to for digital media, as well as digital video games. A lot of like 50 to 75% off of some really cool video games, both for PlayStation and Xbox and even Steam. So
just wait until check those out. Come out.
You know what I just saw on Switch?
DLCs.
I got to download Double Dragon 4.
Oh.
See, that to me, that's where Switch is awesome. Yeah. No, that's where all if you look at the my Switch, all the games they downloaded, they all have something to do with retro games in some fashion. They're either a reboot of an old game, a new sequel, like Blaster Master Zero is a sequel to Blaster Master for NES, Double Dragon 4.
I ended up buying Skyrim for I got Skyrim for Christmas for the Switch. Elder Scrolls is very fun on Skyrim. It's fantastic. Anyway, listen.
You know what you do?
Is it like Bright?
You know what you do in Legend of Zelda?
Is it like Bright, but
you know what
in the
you
past?
Do on Legend of Zelda?
The same thing. It's exactly the same
thing. But not Legend of Zelda.
But even bigger. So it's crazy. Anyway, listen, gents.
Sounds dumb.
It's been real. It's been fun.
You walk around everywhere. You hunt.
You
cook.
You do.
You take arrows in the knee, and
that's what you do. Well, listen,
and
we
yell at dragons.
We have got to get out of here. Our good buddy and punk rock superstar has to go all the way back to the other side of the island, so we got to get out of here. We will be back next week, Tuesday, to talk more about movies and games and all the nerdy stuff that you guys like. This Friday at the movie theater, Insidious, The Last Key is going to be the big movie. Insidious, The Last Key is the big movie. From what I understanding is that...
The key of G!
I will say this, though, with the Insidious franchise. Never once in my life did I ever think I'd see Lynn Shay as the lead of a franchise.
She's fantastic.
She is great in those movies, don't get me wrong.
She is.
But I never thought a million years
that
would happen.
Through the basement?
Yes.
No.
That's her.
She's been around since like way back in the day. She was like in the original Elm
Street. That's the ninja clan that Sub-Zero comes from.
There's something about Mary in a very key scene.
She is. So you guys got to check out the Insidious the Last Key. Also, check out All the Money in the World and the hype behind...
Kevin Spacey's right in it, so you can see it.
The hype behind...
I want to see All the Money in the World.
The hype behind The Greatest Showman apparently is real. They say it's excellent, so you can check that out as well. But,
you know, I've actually been to the Barnum & Bailey Circus before it closed down. And I think they stopped in 1989 or 90 or something like that. I went to one of the last ones when they were in Boston.
Oh, fantastic.
And it was amazing.
Was it cool?
And I saw Gunther, the tiger trainer, before he retired.
Oh, crazy. That's too cool. Sweet. I actually want to see The Greatest Showman. I'll check it out. Anyway, guys, we are totally out of time. So until next week, you guys can also follow us on Facebook, listen to us on iTunes and on Audio Boom and on Stitcher. And, of course,
are
you guys can follow us at Patreon, patreon.com/TheNerdWatch. Well, we'll keep you guys on the Facebook Live for a little while. But until next week... for Todd, for Gant.
Oh, happy birthday, Abby Doom Kitty, if you're watching.
There you go. For
She's
Format and for Alicia.
Me.
I, of course, am G Money.
In your face.
So until then, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next week, we say to you guys, aloha.
Aloha.
Wait, did you say Jew farts?
I said nickel farts.